are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Another Wolves-Grizzlies game, another Grizzlies win. It's been a common theme so far during the first 2.5 months of the season, and thank goodness the season series is over. The Wolves will not see Memphis again this season. The two teams only play 3 games this year, and it's a great thing because Memphis has won all three. Today, we're going to break down the Wolves' loss in Memphis on Tuesday night, discuss what went right and what went wrong in that game. And then we're also going to finish the show by spending a few minutes talking about Jarrett Culver's recent surge, what he's been doing lately. That's made him seem like a much improved player, really on both ends of the floor, especially offensively. But Culver has clearly surged lately in terms of his overall production. All right, let's go ahead and talk Wolves-Grizzlies. So the Timberwolves did build an early lead in this one. And to be clear, I mean, the first two times these teams played, Karl-Anthony Towns did play. We talked about this at length in our preview show on Tuesday. Towns played. He shot a combined, I think it was 3 of 21 or something from 3 of 24 from beyond the arc over the course of the first two games that they played. And the Grizzlies were extremely shorthanded last time around. Jaren Jackson didn't play. Kyle Anderson didn't play. There were a bunch of guys that weren't available. And the Grizzlies still won that game. This time around, the Wolves were only missing Towns and Jake Layman, who's been out for a couple months now, basically. And the Grizzlies were healthy. So the Wolves took an early lead. It felt like the sort of game that, like, okay, you know, third time's the charm. The Wolves really should be beating the Grizzlies, even without Towns. And I get that the Grizzlies have roughly the same record and had already beaten the Wolves twice with Towns. But there's really no excuse for the Wolves to not at least win 1 out of 3 games against Memphis, especially if the Wolves still think that they could squeak into the playoffs. But at any rate, they built an early lead. They were up by 5 after the first quarter. Had a stretch in the second quarter where they went up by double digits before Memphis pushed back. Dylan Brooks went out with 3 fouls in the second quarter, which was a huge deal. If you've watched any Wolves-Grizzlies games this year, you'll know that Dylan Brooks is essentially, Kobe Bryant pretty much when the Wolves play Memphis. He's just jacks up a ton of shots and makes most of them, gets really hot towards the end of games. It's just in all 3 games, that's what's happened. Spoiler alert, I guess, for the end of this one. But Brooks had a bunch of points in the first quarter. I think he scored in double figures in the first quarter before he went out with 3 fouls in the second quarter, and the Wolves were able to build a little bit of a lead. Memphis pushed back, got it to within 5 at halftime with a little mini run, and got back quite a bit of momentum. And then same thing in the third quarter. The Grizzlies just kind of towards the end of the frame especially really pushed back, were able to get back into the game. The Wolves' offense in the whole first half was really pretty good. There was a lot of driving kick. There was a lot of shot attempts at the rim. Culver was getting to the rim. Shabazz Napier, Jeff Teague off the bench especially was getting to the rim. Teague had a really good game in this one. And the Wolves' offense was clicking. They were hitting threes. And then the third quarter kind of devolved into just simply shooting threes. I mean, there really wasn't an offense being run. And I'll be the first guy to tell you, I don't think the Wolves shoot too many threes. I think that they're approaching things the right way. They're like top three in 3-point attempts per game and in free throw attempts per game, which is exactly how Gerson Rosas wants to play. So I'm not complaining about the style of play or the number of 3-pointers attempted. What I am complaining about is the flow of the offense in the third quarter, especially. There wasn't an offense. It was basically one pass 3-pointer. There was one possession where they got 2 offensive rebounds. They attempted 3 shots and they were all one pass 3-pointers where they got the rebound, kicked it out, shot a 3, got the rebound, kicked it out, shot a 3. There was no, and they weren't all like wide open shots either. I'm not of the old school camp that thinks that if you come down in transition and shoot an open 3, it's a bad shot. It's almost always a good shot in that situation if it's an open 3, but there just wasn't any, there wasn't a concerted effort to get to the rim, which is always the best shot if you can get to the rim and score or get fouled. And instead there were some guys who weren't, you know, the best 3-point. I mean, Josh Okogie took a couple of ill-advised threes. He only attempted 2 shots in 14 minutes, the entire game for him. And he attempted 2 3-pointers that were both kind of questionable shots there in the third quarter. Maybe it was early fourth quarter, but during that stretch where the Wolves really struggled in the second half. Keelan Martin, Kata Bates, Diop combined to shoot 0 of 5 beyond the arc, 2 of 10 overall off the bench. So there were some guys who really probably shouldn't have been jacking up some of those three-pointers that weren't in the flow of the offense, but they did it anyways. And that allowed Memphis back into the game. Memphis was able to take a brief lead partway through the fourth quarter. They had not grabbed a lead back until the fourth quarter, even though the game was played tightly in the second and third quarters, and Memphis outscored the Wolves between those two quarters by a total of 3 points. They didn't actually get a lead. They were ahead 6-4 in the first quarter, didn't get a lead back until about midway through the fourth. And then the Wolves went on a run on their own and took the lead right back. We're up by 9 late in the fourth quarter. And then Memphis went on another quick run, and that was that. Memphis got the lead back, was up by, I think, 5 with a couple of minutes to go. The Wolves pushed back a little bit more. Covington had an old-fashioned three-point play, got Minnesota to within 1 point with 1:06 left. Ja Morant came down, hit a tough floater in the lane, and then it was a three-point game. Culver forced up a little bit of a forced three. He was 3 of 5 beyond the arc in this game and was the best player on the floor for the Wolves, and we'll get more into that here in a minute. But his three-pointer missed. Even though he was 3 of 4 at the point in the game from beyond the arc, he's still like a 24% three-point shooter. So for whatever reason, he took the shot, and Memphis got the rebound, came down and scored again. They were up 5 with 30 seconds left, and that was basically it. So the Wolves stayed in it. The offense was decent down the stretch. They just couldn't get stops on the Grizzlies' backcourt. This was just yet another Dylan Brooks, Ja Morant, did whatever they want type game. And they weren't hurt as much by like Brandon Clark off the bench. I mean, nobody off the bench for the Grizzlies scored more than 6 points. The Wolves bench was much better in terms of production. Jonas Valanciunas didn't even have a very good game. He had 4 points, 7 rebounds, 1 of 6 shooting. Gorgie did a good job on him. But they were absolutely killed by Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks. Those guys combined to shoot 23 of 38 from the field. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. had a huge fourth quarter. I think he had 11 in the fourth quarter alone. Finished with 21 points, 7 rebounds, was 4 of 10 beyond the arc, hit a couple of huge threes late in that game. So as much as Brooks killed the Wolves in the first and third quarters, and it was basically the reason Memphis stayed in the game, and the Wolves played their best when he was off the floor, Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. were the reasons in the fourth quarter, primarily. There's a little bit of Brooks in there too, but those guys killed it in the fourth quarter. The Wolves, when they committed resources to stop Morant in the paint, he basically was kicking to Jaren Jackson for open threes, and the Wolves couldn't seem to cover both a guard and a big at the same time, and it was one of those guys that was getting a decently open shot. So disappointing effort defensively after all the talk recently of their improved defensive rating and leading the league in deflections and like top three in steals and all that stuff in the last 10 games. They gave up 119 points in a four-quarter regulation game to Memphis, 37 points in the fourth quarter, 31 points in the third quarter. So after a decent defensive first half, things kind of came apart at the seams in the second half. Maybe Ja Morant and Dylan Brooks are just some weird form of kryptonite for the Wolves. I mean, Minnesota had slowed down, arguably better guards recently, but they can't seem to stop Memphis's backcourt whatsoever. And those guys did a lot of their damage from the mid-range too. Brooks was 2-4 beyond the arc. Morant was 0-1. Morant, of course, was mostly in the paint. Dylan Brooks is more than happy to settle for wide open 15 to 18 footers, and he makes them more often than not. So the Wolves game plan was not significantly better against those guys in this game, unfortunately, but overall a solid offensive game for the Wolves. There were a couple guys who had standout games that we'll talk about here in a moment, but the inability to slow down dynamic guards continues to come up when the Wolves play an otherwise solid game. That continues to be an issue. They didn't rebound the ball great either. Memphis rebounded Minnesota 45-40, out-rebounded Minnesota, I should say. Minnesota didn't have anybody that had more than 6 rebounds in this game. Gorgie Jang had just 2 rebounds, which was the least on the team, except for Jeff Teague, who somehow had 0 in 29 minutes, and Josh Okogie, who had 1. But the least of the starters, he had 2 rebounds. Robert Covington and Noah Vonleh led the Wolves with 6 apiece, and Vonleh only played 14 minutes. So rebounding without Towns on the floor continues to be an issue in games that it goes hand in hand with the Wolves struggling in terms of getting stops on defense, giving up second chance points. They got a few offensive rebounds themselves, but weren't really able to capitalize. They also did an okay job at forcing turnovers, but much of that damage was done in the first half. They forced about their season average in opponent turnovers. They caused the Grizzlies to turn it over 16 times, and they did have 10 steals, the Wolves did. But most of that was in the first half, and they struggled in transition once again and didn't really capitalize on all the turnovers that they forced. And those forced turnovers basically disappeared in the second half. Memphis played a much cleaner second half on offense, and the Wolves just couldn't get stops like they needed to. All right, next up, we're going to talk about studs and duds. Who are the best players on the floor for the Wolves, and who left something to be desired? We've talked a lot recently about how some of the more veteran, more tenured players for the Wolves have been the ones to carry them through this stronger stretch of play, mostly Shabazz Napier, Gorgui Dieng, Robert Covington as well. Shabazz and Gorgui were not good in this game. It was a stark contrast to the last couple of times out. Shabazz had only 6 points in 25 minutes. He was 2 of 10 from the field, 1 of 7 beyond the arc, 6 points, 4 assists, 3 rebounds. Only 2 turnovers, but he only played 25 minutes. He was outplayed by Jeff Teague. So Teague played much of the fourth quarter. He just had a brief break in the middle of it, but also played down the stretch. So I guess we're starting with duds today. But Shabazz Napier, 6 points, 4 assists. Gorgui had 11 points, 4 assists, 4 of 10 shooting, 1 of 6 beyond the arc in 24 minutes, 3 turnovers in 24 minutes for Gorgui. He had a couple of travels that one was a travel, the other one kind of just felt like the whole refs for some reason think Gorgui travels more than any other player in the NBA type of a call. But at any rate, 3 turnovers was a minus 11 for the game, which was the second worst mark on the Wolves. So they combined to shoot 6 of 20 and 2 of 13 from beyond the arc. Only attempted 4 free throws combined, and 17 points, 8 assists combined between the two of them. So disappointing games from those guys. Would also mention Josh Okogie, 14 minutes, 0 for 2 shooting, both 3-point attempts, only 1 rebound, only 1 steal. Just another kind of blah game from Okogie. We've seen a few of those here lately, which is pretty frustrating. In terms of studs in this game, Jarrett Culver was quite easily the best player on the floor for the Wolves all the way around. He had 24 points, which is a career high, shot 8 of 11 from the field, 3 of 5 beyond the arc, which is awesome for a guy who's shooting like 22, 23% back there starting or coming into the game. And he was 5 of 7 from the free throw line, which I think he missed two of his first 3 and then made his last 4, I believe. And he was shooting like 40% coming into the game from the free throw line. So that was actually, I don't know if that was just a function of he was feeling confident, and so he just stepped up and shot the ball, which I'm sure at this point it's at least partly in his head. Although this is probably a discussion for another day, but his jump shot motion is clearly not fundamentally sound. I guess you could say it's a little bit broken, and so that plays into it. But I mean, he was an okay shooter in college, and he at times can shoot the ball well. So the free throw thing doesn't make any sense that he'd be that bad from the free throw line this year. So it's good to see him go 5 for 7 there. He also pitched in 5 rebounds, 2 steals, had an assist, only 1 turnover in 28 minutes. Was a +8 on the game in a game the Wolves lost by 7. He was had the best plus minus of anybody on the floor for the Wolves, and was really dynamic. Got to the rim almost at will. Had a couple of, he even made a shot in the post. He had a little turnaround shot that he made, and was just again extremely confident and efficient. In contrast to some of the games, you know, just last week, he was really efficient. He shot the ball 11 times in 28 minutes, but made 8 of them and was able to get the free throw line several times because he was so aggressive in trying to get to the rim first and foremost. He can still be a little bit trigger happy from the perimeter. I don't know that the Wolves want him shooting half of his shots from outside the arc at this stage until he can prove he makes them at a little bit of a higher clip. He's long enough and athletic enough, he can get to the rim more frequently. So I think that's what the Wolves would like to see more often. And then our last segment, we're going to dig into Culver a little bit more in his recent streak and talk a little bit about what he has improved specifically and what's been most encouraging about his recent streak of hot play. Also studs in this game for the Wolves. Jeff Teague had 18.6 assists, 7 of 14 shooting, 2 of 4 beyond the arc. Finally, played a game that looked more like the Jeff Teague we saw in October, the first part of November. 2 steals as well. three turnovers in 29 minutes. Overall, solid game. Early in it, he was forcing a little bit, but was a lot better in the second half, and was making some tough shots in the paint. He did, in classic Jeff Teague fashion, miss a couple of, his two free throw. He was 2 for 2 from the line, but it was a potential 3-point play in the final minutes where he just kind of biffed a layup that he was fouled on. And it would have been nice to have that extra point, especially when the Wolves were down one there late in the game. But at any rate, Teague played good overall, and he would be the second stud in this game for the Wolves. Robert Covington also was quite good, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 6 of 10 from the field, 4 of 7 beyond the arc, and 2 assists and a steal. He had that really big 3-point play that got the Wolves within one late, where he made a layup, was fouled, and hit the free throw. Covington's come on a little bit more of late. There was that weird game against Milwaukee where he only shot the ball 4 times, but since then he's been very good, and has reasserted himself as one of the Wolves' best couple of players. I mean, he's outplayed Wiggins since Wiggins has come back the last couple of games, but he's playing exactly. I mean, 17 and 6, four out of 7 threes. I think he was 4 of 10 the other night. I mean, 4 made threes a night is about what the Wolves want from Covington, and it's generally going to take him 7 to 11 shots to get there, and that's fine. And then 6 rebounds, that's fine. I mean, he's a starting power forward, 32 minutes, that's about right. So another good performance from Covington. I would also include as kind of those are the top three, I would include as like a sub stud for this game, if you will. Naz Reid had 10 points, 5 rebounds, and only 11 minutes. Most of that was in the first half. He was 3 of 6 shooting, 1 of 3 beyond the arc, made all 3 of his free throws. And again, 10 of 5, 1 assist, 1 turnover. It was a +7 in just 11 minutes. It was the second best plus minus mark on the team next to Culver. It feels like good things happen when he's on the court. And he has had good first halves, and then it's like he gets a second half stint and things kind of go awry and he gets yanked and doesn't get back in. But overall, it seems like the Wolves offense is just a little more dynamic with him on the floor than with, say, Noah Vonleh. Granted, nobody's going to argue that, Vonleh's clearly the better defender, so it makes sense why he's getting 14 minutes in a game like this. And he was the best rebounder on the floor for the Wolves too in this one. But I think I think that Reid is going to need to find a role moving forward. When Towns comes back, what happens? Does Vonleh lose his spot in the rotation? Does Gorgie's minutes go way down? Does Cade Bates-Diop lose some minutes? He hasn't been very good lately. That was 1 of 5 in this game in 17 minutes. So Naz has played very well lately, really, I guess, overall, since he started getting regular minutes. And again, in this one, in 11 minutes, shooting 3 of 6 from the floor is significant. So we'll see what happens with him moving forward. All right, next up, we're going to talk a little bit about Jarrett Culver and his recent improvement and what that means moving forward for the rookie and for the Timberwolves. All right, I wanted to talk a little bit about Jarrett Culver. He's played a lot better lately. There's been some articles. Timberwolves.com did a piece about it. The blog that I co-manage, Dunking with Wolves, had an article about it on Tuesday as well, about Culver's recent improvement, his hot stretch of play. And then he actually played his best game of probably of the season, certainly one of his best couple of games of the season last night in Memphis. And I mean, just glancing at the numbers, it's pretty clear. I mean, he scored in double figures for 5 straight games. He had another streak like that back at the end of November, first part of December, which was right around the time the Wolves started to go on that long losing streak. And then, quite frankly, Culver was pretty terrible during the losing streak. He had a series of games where he was only playing, between 10 and 15 minutes. But in this game, he was really good. And really, over the last 5, he's been quite good. Going back to his 21-point performance, which was his previous career high against Brooklyn, and that win, that overtime win. I guess that game was an overtime game, but that win over Brooklyn. He had 21 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals in that game. Followed it up with 10, 8, and 5 in the loss at Milwaukee. Then he had a 10-point performance against the Warriors. 14, 4, and 3 with a couple of blocks last time out against Cleveland, and then his career best 24 points, pitched in 5 rebounds and a couple of steals in the game against Memphis. But it's not just the volume. Some of those counting numbers, especially the rebounding, he's been, I guess, outside of the Cleveland game, 5 or more rebounds for each of the last 4 of the last 5 games. He's gotten 5 or more rebounds. He had 8 in the one game, which tied his career high from earlier this year. Some of that stuff it's a little bit of a chicken or the egg. I mean, he's getting more minutes, and therefore he's going to get more rebound opportunities. So We'd have to really look at rebounding percentage individually for Culver to understand, or his rebound rate, and see how that's increased. But he's getting more minutes because he's playing better too. So I think that has to factor in. He's played 28 minutes or more in each of the last five games. He doesn't have a stretch like that at all this season. In fact, he's only played five games total this year in which he's seen more than 30 minutes, and three of those five were in the last five games. So he is getting more opportunity. The volume of shots early in the streak was really high, and he was shooting at least five threes a game. He's the last couple times out, he's done a better job at trying to get to the rim and shooting in the paint, getting fouled for a guy who hasn't been a good free throw shooter. It's important for him to just keep getting to the line and keep trying to improve. He's been much better lately. I mean, if we want to pick like an arbitrary, you know, since December 1st, Culver has shot the ball 45.7% from the free throw line, in an average of about two shots per game since Christmas. He's improved on that. That's actually not true. 45% since Christmas. The 5 of 7 certainly helps that cause last night in Memphis, but that's an area where he's going to need to improve because he's so long and athletic and he's playing more aggressively lately. He's going to keep getting opportunities at the free throw line. So look for him to try and improve that number. His 3-point shooting, I think if he can tick that number upwards, however slowly it moves up, I mean, that would be huge. For him to just shoot a competitive percentage from three, somewhere near 30%, would be huge. After his 3 for 5 against Memphis, he's up to 25.4% for the season. That needs to keep moving upwards. And if that can get up closer to 30, if the free throw percentage can get to above a former DeAndre Jordan level. DeAndre Jordan's actually a pretty good free throw shooter all of a sudden, but for most of his career was below 50%. If he can get that up, you know, above 50%, let's start small and shoot close to 30% from three, then that opens more things up for him. He can basically get to the rim when he wants to. And even though he's got a slender build, he's been finishing pretty well at the rim. And that's been key. He's been asked to initiate the offense a lot less lately. The Wolves have been running through Shabazz Napier, and also with Wiggins back now, Culver isn't playing those heavy kind of de facto point guard minutes, which I think it was good for him to get those minutes early in his rookie season, but he's probably better served as an off-ball guy who can cut and slash and be a secondary ball handler and still do damage with the ball in his hands. But now that he's starting to understand the NBA game, I think that helps quite a bit. He's also improved a lot defensively. He's been good on defense this year, but he's been overall pretty average, and he's been above average, certainly the last 5 to 10 games on defense. He's been getting more deflections. He's been getting more just outright steals. He's been intercepting passes. He's been active on the glass. We talked a little bit already about how that's partly a more minutes equals more rebound situation, but he's also just been more aggressive in trying to get those rebounds. Some of these teams that they've faced have pretty big fronts. I mean, Milwaukee's a tough team to rebound against. He pulled down 8 rebounds in that game. They're also a good defensive team. He had 5 assists in that game. So he stepped up his level of play there. And for the most part has been doing what the Wolves need him to do from a rebound perspective. And then he's also turning the ball over less. Again, I think he's understanding the speed of the game and what his role really should be. So I do think that there's some real growth there. I'm not about to anoint him as like an NBA caliber starter at this point or anything crazy like that. But he's gone from being kind of deer in the headlights rookie to a guy who kind of knows his role and knows what he's doing and is still maybe a little bit over aggressive on offense. But I think the Wolves would rather him be over-aggressive and need to dial it back a little bit than vice versa. We've already seen kind of the reverse of this with Andrew Wiggins, especially early in his career, although Wiggins, I guess, was never shy with shooting the ball. It's just his shot selection, whereas Culver is only really shooting the ball from in the paint or outside the arc. It's just be a little bit more judicious with his shot selection, and Culver could be a really effective player for the rest of this year. And who knows what that turns into after a summer of work, and moving into next year. The ceiling is still extremely high for Culver. And if he plays like he has the last five games consistently, that makes him a starting caliber player. If he can extend this streak of play further, then he becomes what the Wolves need now. But the ceiling of being a borderline star is still certainly there for Culver. No question about it. All right, that's all we have for you today. We will be back on Thursday morning to preview Thursday night's game. The Wolves will be taking on Man, I completely forgot who the Wolves are playing on Thursday. The Wolves will be taking on the Portland Trailblazers at home on Thursday. It's a 7 o'clock game. So we'll be previewing that game and looking ahead to the weekend, as well as doing that on Friday and recapping Thursday's game against Portland. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.